morning. Today is Monday, January the 30th. Joining us this morning, kind of a twofer with Mr. Arkley.
Hey, bud. How are you?
Just as good as last week. How's that?
Well, that's good. No significant changes.
Yeah.
It's about all we can ask for.
Yeah, anymore. Yeah. No sifting sands.
Yeah.
Shifting sands. Yeah. Stability.
Or clay.
Yeah. Yeah, damn clay. You got a quote there?
I do. By Irene Potter. Just because everything is different doesn't mean anything has changed.
Yeah. And I suppose that's part of the challenge.
That's what the bureaucracy depends on.
Yeah. Well, some of the different challenges that are out there, and it's still relatively early, but UN, NATO, tariffs, foreign trade, yada, yada, yada. All these things that are kind of out there for a lot of us. Is there any kind of a sense of what the new administration is going to do with some of those entities?
Well, I think he declared war on status quo. He basically said, Republicans and Democrats, I'm not with you. I'm for the people. And he had a pretty powerful message. And
a lot of people will go to Walmart and will purchase their foreign-made products.
Correct.
Whether it's disposable clothing or other items.
And brag about the low price.
Yeah, and that's the marketplace at work. So if the marketplace is saying they want cheap disposable, do you shut that channel of distribution off that allows those foreign-made products into the country?
These are the balancing acts he has to walk through. And what do you do with the currency? You see, do you let it be weak or strong? When we became a reserve currency, we basically said, okay, we're going to run deficits on the import-export basis. So we would export more than we brought in. And import.
Every business wants that, yeah. Or every country wants to export more than they bring in.
Yeah, no, and we're doing just the opposite. We said we will run a current balance deficit. That's what comes with the territory.
So what's the advantage of that?
Well, the advantage is your goods get distributed, but the disadvantage is, and your credit's good, and the world's doing business in your currency. That's a strength. I think the big disadvantage is that fundamentally, on one hand, we want to foster exports, but on the other hand, by definition, when you're reserve currency, it's hard to do.
When you hear about some of these automotive plants being invested in or created in America by the various manufacturers, domestic and international, were those plans in place already? Are these things that are being driven by the fear of something going on? Why so many in such a short period of time spending so much?
Well, I don't know. But I do think that labor is no longer the driving force on a lot of these decisions. Because let's not kid ourselves. Robots and AI are what it's all about right now.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, some of the different economic things that you play in an awful lot, we're starting to hear being used by the media a little bit more frequently. Do you think we're going to start paying attention to the economics of decisions, economic impacts of this, of that, more than just redefining what the unemployment rate is?
Oh, so it looks
pretty.
No, and some of these other shenanigans
the last 15 or 20
years. That's such a good point. No, it's going to change dramatically, because really all Obama did was shift the definition of the stimulus package created or saved, you know, so many jobs, blah, blah, blah. Trump, I think, has two measurements. Is it good for America, and is it good for the American worker? I just don't think he wants everyone to work and wants everyone to have the dignity of work.
Is that going to be one of the challenges of his tenure as president, is not to have the make it easy for the jobs to be created for people to work, but to reinstitute the desire to work?
I have not heard that policy issue discussed, so I can't answer that. Intuitively, he wants to save money, cut costs, and he wants people to go to work.
But the cultural change for some, I mean, we've all heard stories about multiple generations of welfare government recipients.
Yeah.
Okay, is the desire to work an innate human trait? Or is that a cultural, and if it's cultural, how do you break that multi-generational handout mentality of entitlement?
Well, Trump is walking in at an interesting time. My generation, and I'm smack dab in the middle of the baby boomers, really are going to have to work till they're 75 in most cases. And they should, because we're all going to live to be 90 or 95. I mean, these statin drugs extend our lives dramatically. So many things, we're all going to live, most of us are going to live to be 90 to 100. That's just, and developments are coming along in healthcare that are going to make that. So I think it's going to be more challenging initially for the millennials, because they can't kick out the old folks who are working. And I think that's one of the big challenges. But I don't think the culture's as broken as everybody else does. I think the culture wants to work. Look at us at Security National here in Eureka. We are able to fill jobs. Most people would make more growing marijuana than they do working for us. But the dignity and the morality of the person wants to go to work each day and do something legal. I think that's pretty regal.
Yeah, people work for a whole bunch of different reasons. An awful lot of it is that positive reinforcement. Yeah,
and it speaks well of them. It really does, Brian.
Do you sense that President Trump is going to be like former President Eisenhower with the infrastructure and the roads? And, I mean, it's been, 60, 70 years? Are we going to see some of those types of jobs, or are you thinking more of the WPA kinds of jobs that are government?
Oh, I don't think we can afford WPA. And the infrastructure is going to be done privately for the most part, and they're going to provide financing, because we just can't afford the budget deficits. We don't have the money, nor do we have the credit to do that type of project like Eisenhower did. So the things...
But it's still needed.
Infrastructure is needed and will be done, but it'll be done through a infrastructure bank and other structures along those lines.
That's, are those things that exist now? Or is it something new?
May not. But believe me, I've heard kicked around pretty seriously. And
so how does that play out then for situations like Last Chance Grade? Is that something that government responsibility is for? Or do you take the monies? Because now the private sector is realizing money, all the private contractors that are working the site all the time. I guess, with the Willis Bypass all being taken care of, and maybe the 299 slide might be another example. How does that play out with a working example here of this model that you just referenced?
I can't really tell you because I don't think infrastructure in Humboldt, Del Norte, Trinity counties pays for itself the same way infrastructure in cities pays for itself. So I think by definition, infrastructure investments around here don't pay for themselves. I mean,
so we'll still be
we're totally on the dole. And so and I look at it all the time and say, boy, Caltrans, you know, we're getting a lot more money into our infrastructure than we possibly give back.
So we just kind of hope that one doesn't get blown up.
I don't think it will because I just don't think I think although California is not anyone's favorite back in D.C., including New York. California is – people are pretty tired of California. And we have the government we want. I'm not disputing that. And I wish they'd treat the same way with Trump, that nationally we have the government we want. But Californians have the government they want. And the rest of the country has to understand that.
The health care. You alluded to that a little bit with some of the life expectancy. Do you see that there's going to be some kind of a model that will allow for R&D and the payback of that if we do end up going to a single payer?
Well, I don't think we'll go to a single payer, but I do think what we will have is an expedited experimental drug process. Right now, the FDA is just an absolute cement process. So it is thwarting R&D dramatically. So I have great hopes that and they're putting a guy in. He's been interviewed twice. I just read this morning. And that looks like he would be one of the real innovators. So I'm hopeful that by the time we see each other, he'll have been appointed.
KINS.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Rob, what about NASA and some of these areas that government has been involved with in the past that I would argue probably pretty vehemently that society has benefited from?
Oh, it's been accretive to our society.
I'm fearful about these private guys in the space program. It's a different model. We've seen it with airplanes, and I can see the airline industry being very parallel to the space program also. Is that something that you sense the current administration is going to be looking at a little bit differently than what it is today?
I don't have any idea. I just don't have a peg on that. My reaction is that they're going to pay fairly close attention to NASA. Those are big dollars, and they're going to want to see where the benefits are coming from. That would be my reaction, but I don't know.
Yeah, but joint space programs with other countries, it's like, okay. Yeah. One of the things I think that has been missing, in probably since Reagan, is nationalism. There was something, whether it was the Berlin Wall or the Cold War, or world wars, there was something. Bush, too, had a little with the 9/11, but, you know, it's tough to do battle against Mercury.
Right.
nobody's there. That there needs to be some unifying that everybody kind of gets behind that isn't there now as a rallying point. And I've always...
Oh, that's interesting.
That NASA would be there. Let's put a colony on the moon. Let's go and explore. Let's get the benefits of computer technology and all these other things, as well as having jobs for kids to get into that have passion for physics and science and all these things that don't exist today.
No, you're right about that. I approached your question from completely opposite way. I like your approach a lot. You're just saying this is building to the future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's tempting just to build for today.
Yeah, but you want to lay the foundation of the building for tomorrow, too.
You've got to. That's part of doing a good job. I don't know where Trump will be.
Interesting to see what American society is now with passing of Armstrong and Cernan. And, you know, I don't know what Aldrin's like, 91. I don't know how
long. Buzz Aldrin's pretty old.
Hanging in there. Mike Collins is looking pretty frail. I mean, all the true
the heroes.
Astronauts are all kind of leaving us.
The heroes we all.
And there's not another generation of those at this point.
You're right.
That it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm too nostalgic, too.
No, I don't think so.
As you look at America today, if you had that pixie dust pile, you could throw it out there. What would you do that would benefit either the administration or American society, let's say in the next a 2-year window?
I'd have a health savings account that is transportable like a 401k. There's $20 trillion in 401ks. We can do the same thing in health savings accounts. And the longer we live, the more expensive it's going to be, so we ought to start those today.
That seems rather mundane. As a goal, is it a lot more complicated to execute, or is it a philosophical change?
It's a philosophical change. It's responsibility. It's employers paying in, matching. You got to just have it right alongside a 401k. And if you have this 401k, you will also have the health savings account. I think that's pretty dramatic, and it's pretty chunky.
Sounds pretty doable.
I think that one is doable. I think that one is.
So who's digging in their heels and locking their knees?
You know, every time you try for a big solution, it seems to blow up. And I don't know why it won't work, but I'll bet you it won't. And so I really wish we had health savings accounts, because by definition, it will reduce the government necessity to be in the healthcare market over a period of time. And if we get a general glide path out of government paying for it and getting private people to pay for it themselves, what a great thing that would be for our society. Because Obamacare is a disaster. But, boy, we have to find a better solution. Just because it's bad doesn't mean the next one's good.
KINS, that almost sounds like a quote. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Rob.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, California, I heard an interesting reference to the West Coast. There were a cow. Had never heard, obviously, from your reaction, you've not, California, Oregon, Washington, we're a cow.
Yes, we are.
And I bet you there's a lot of things associated with that that we could play with, but that once you leave the Eastern Seaboard, there's nothing until you run into the cow that is
Oregon and Washington
challenging big government, digging their heels in, et cetera, et cetera. As you look at some of the larger communities in the Midwest, you have Chicago, and certainly their health and law enforcement are pretty well documented. Dallas, Detroit, Cleveland. Probably leaving out a couple of other big boys, but that gives us a pretty good...
Houston.
Yeah, okay. Are they on a rebound? Are they all doing better than what they were before? Are those going to be the communities that see the initial uptick from the administration's decisions?
I don't think... I think the South is where the benefits are. I don't think Chicago gets huge benefits. It's broke. I mean, they have nothing.
So is Detroit, but Detroit's kind of starting to bubble a little bit.
No, Detroit went through bankruptcy. They cleaned out a lot of debts. And so I think they've got a pretty clean balance sheet.
Kind of like Pittsburgh 25 years ago?
Yes, sir. That's a great example. Or Buffalo 25 years ago. Yeah. But the South is where... really the happy news is, I think. And it's not just labor. It's just
the You're going back to NASA in Huntsville, aren't you?
Yes, I am. But I really think we have great times ahead of us in Humboldt County. I do.
So I was going to ask if any of that stuff is going to transfer here.
Of course it is, because kids don't want to pay $4,000 a month for rent in San Francisco. They want to be able to work and live. And
is the job transferable that they're doing in San Francisco?
Yes, sir. I think it is. I think a lot of them are. I really do.
Do we have the infrastructure? We talked about it with the roads. Do we have the infrastructure? Do we have enough internet capability and capacities to be able to do this? Do we have, the airport, could it handle not San Jose like, because it will never get to that size, but do we have the stuff that permits us to get there?
Where we are short on, I think, is housing. I think housing is not apartments, real live housing.
Working guy, entry level, no government subsidy kinds of housing.
Yeah, and just building them in that. I think it's really challenging to build housing here.
So the market has to shift to drive the demand to get these properties rolling, then the jobs. I mean, I think I shared with everybody a couple of times. We had a couple of folks from out of the time zone lined up to come here and couldn't find a house. Well, these guys aren't going to be building these homes on spec. Or are you looking at kind of like the old towns?
I mean,
company towns.
Levittown.
Arkley has his 30 homes, and that's where his folks can live if they can't find somewhere else. And Pabstein's got, two or three. And I mean, is that how we're going to get this thing rolling?
Can't
that
do it.
Doesn't make
it
sense.
It takes too much capital out of your core business. But I think there's a demand for housing, and I don't think we've met it. The permitting is not easy. It's hard to permit in this county. I mean, it's better than it used to be, but aren't you still hearing it's quite difficult?
Yeah, with those few who are attempting.
Yeah, you're right. It's very difficult. But I still see, we're going to be building down on various parcels we have in town, and we do not anticipate any shortage of demand.
And are you putting apartments on the second floor, like the old town model?
I don't want to get into that, and I'll tell you why. Is because on quite a bit of our land from UP, we have a covenant that it can't go into residential.
Well, it knocks that one out of the park.
Well, yeah. No, they'd probably be flexible with us, but it's just not the ideal solution for us. But are we going to see things grow down there? Yeah. The Eureka's headed to the water.
So where are the folks going to live that are there?
They want to be in a livable,
Southern
walkable.
Humboldt,
no,
Riodell?
I think they want to be in a livable, walkable town. And they will, I think 7th Street, 6th Street over is going to be hopefully condos and apartments.
A lot of fix-ups of what now? Or
yeah,
the older
yeah,
homes.
not apartments. I just criticize those, so don't do that.
I'll remember that when I get in that scenario.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.